The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Anyway, Nessie, how are you? Yeah,
on that note.
What are you up to?
I'm really good. I think my mascara's probably running, but apart from that, I'm fine.
Good.
Obviously, I've brought Kenny along, but there is something that I'd also like to mention before we talk to Kenny, and that is something we touched on earlier, which is the new reverse VAT for construction, because I have to put my accountancy speak on life. This is a real big thing. If you are in the construction industry, you work under their construction industry scheme for tax, and you are VAT registered, most of them will no longer be able to charge VAT on their work. It's going to be reverse charged, and the flat rate scheme will be of no use to these people that fall into this category.
Right.
Cash flow is going to be affected in a massive way if you're a construction company that is not the main contractor, but any subby back down the line. And that can be big companies, can be the subcontractor. You know, the big client here gets the business, but he subcontracts it out to wherever. There'll be no VAT charge, which is what helps with cash flow and all the rest of it. And this comes into effect from the 1st of October.
So hold on, because this doesn't make sense, because this undoes the whole point of VAT, which is supposed to be an input tax.
Right, OK, we can do that one next time. But we held an internal meeting last week for and invited a load of clients that it will affect to tell them about it. All of these clients are big subcontractors. You know, they're employing a lot of people. It's going to affect them all. Not one main contractor had been in touch to tell them that this was coming down the line. So I have a real concern out there that people are working blindly away, thinking this is how life is. If you haven't heard about it and it's going to affect you, so if you are CIS registered and VAT registered, either get in touch with your accountant, or you're more than welcome to get in touch with us and we'll try and talk you through it. If you haven't got an accountant, please tell me that's not going to carry on, because you're going to be stuck.
You need one.
As to what you're going to do. And I don't think it's going to go away. Even if it got stalled for 6 months, it's all coming about due to so much fraud. There's so many subcontractors, and I'm not trying to tarnish anyone, who charge the VAT and don't pay it across.
Yeah.
And it's hit the construction industry and HMRC so hard that they've thought, screw it, I'm going to change the rules.
Yeah.
So I sort of get it, but it's going to make a massive difference to a lot of these companies out there. A company with a £50 million turnover, I read the other day, it will affect their cash flow by something like £3 million. Of workable money, because they won't have that coming in that they can use. So I'm just putting the doom and gloom out there, bringing the show down to the level it should be at.
Okay, so how do we then? So this is just normal in business, with all due respect.
Yes,
we get something that comes and hits us.
Yep.
It isn't how we started our business, and here we go. We've got something that affects our cash flow. How do we adapt and change the business, or change the model, or grow into
There's
this next stage of business?
Things. Right, so one of the things you could do is go on to monthly VAT, because you'll still be able to claim the VAT on the materials that you've got, which will give you money back on a monthly basis. So there you go, there's straight away one option. But you can't just suddenly do that, and you've got to remember it's the 1st of October. So if you're on, you know, cash or accrual VAT, it's going to make a difference, because if you put your VAT through when you get paid it, as opposed to when you charge it, if you get paid that VAT, that invoice, after the 1st of October, then it's not going to work anymore. So you've got to really plan for this. And it's already in that quarter now.
Right.
So, you know, July, August, September bit, you could easily be paid after October.
And, of course, we've got Making Tax Digital, just to chuck in there at the same time.
Just came in. I mean, that's just a bit of a lot of hype for a different way to submit a VAT return, personally, but
I don't want to start a whole new series of rants, because I want to talk to Kenny.
Yes.
But basically, it puts into perspective all the hysteria about Brexit and about, you know, potential damage to business, which is true, but you've been damaging business for years, and it's never bothered you before, so I'm not really sure why it's bothering you now, because you've perpetrated on us all kinds of things over the last couple of years, you know, from workplace pensions, paternity leave, Making Tax Digital, reverse VAT, VAT MOS. You know, every 6 months we get one of these, so businesses are used to adapting to whatever the scenario is that we're facing.
Yeah, but again, they've got to be able to access the information.
You need good advice to do it, not the bloke down the pub.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's a reason he's sitting in the pub, and we know that. Yeah. He ain't got anything else to do.
But here's my thing, and I know we're going to get on to Kenny.
Yeah.
And I hear this all the time, and this is where I'm listening to this more and more with the research of my book at the minute, and you get this phrase, and I'm going to use it as an accountant rather than a solicitor. And somebody, if you're having a divorce, and somebody will go, a friend will always go, have you got a good lawyer? Mm. And you don't know until either it's too late or after the whole process has been done. So how would I know that I've got a good accountant, Nettie?
Because this sort of thing should be being highlighted to you. Okay. It's as simple as that. Because if it's about to affect your business, you should know.
Yeah.
So Making Tax Digital, for example, is not anything more in a lot of ways than a different way of submitting a VAT return. It got a lot of hype, mainly because people wanted to sell software, and you do have to put it through software, so people all needed it.
Yeah.
But the bottom line was, and it's still
a VAT. It had a detrimental effect on the shoebox industry.
It really did. I mean, there's no need for a shoebox anymore.
Exactly.
But at the same time, it probably got a lot of people to think about their business, throw away the Excel spreadsheet, do all of that sort of stuff. But we did it in a way that hopefully was useful, in that we told a lot of our clients there was absolutely nothing to worry about. You're already using software. There's nothing to prepare for. Don't worry about it. Don't panic. It's done. And the clients that needed the help, we helped them.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing with this bit. You know, we invited loads of clients in to listen to this. Most of them are far too busy to attend. But, you know, I can send them out a slideshow, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
Mm. You need to talk about it, because every business is a little bit different.
And that has always perennially been the problem with small businesses and government regulation, is everybody, one starts off by assuming it doesn't count for me. Yeah. So one of the biggest ones was workplace pensions.
Yeah.
When they had their staging dates, people would suddenly get their staging date and they go, well, it doesn't apply to me. I only employ two people. Yes, it does. You know, so those kind of things, you're absolutely right. It's about paying attention to them up front.
And more stuff comes back to the employer now, doesn't it? I mean, we had a scenario, Kenny and I, only a couple of weeks ago, didn't we, that you had a letter. It doesn't matter what the details were. It was nothing wrong with your business. Mm-hmm. But, you know, suddenly something rocks up and you think, oh, right. Mm. You know, statistics surveys are another one at the moment. Yeah. People get stuck in those and they've got a year, 18 months of time, and you're fined if they don't do it.
Absolutely.
It's all just to collate information that no one probably ever uses.
I think I've mentioned my view of politicians recently. Yeah.
You really should mention it.
Do you know, I'd really like to be Belgium at the moment.
They haven't got anyone, have they?
They haven't had a government for nearly three years.
Brilliant.
And they work perfectly. Yeah. I think it's the perfect model.
That's why I don't want them to start out Brexit. Yeah.
And they do good waffles.
Yeah. And they do brilliant waffles. Yeah. What more do you want?
And what's the point in sorting out Brexit? It's all they've done for 2.5 years, and we've all got on with it. We don't need them, so we might just let them carry on talking about
it.
Anyway, do you want me to introduce Kenny?
I'd love you to introduce Kenny, to be honest, who's been waiting there patiently.
Not that patient. He's been joining in and laughing.
He has indeed. And of course, he's the greatest guest we've had for a long, long time, because he bought donuts.
I know.
No. Which I'm not eating.
Which he's not eating because he's on a water-only diet. Yeah.
He's gone this theory that if we all get fat, he'll feel thinner.
Fattening everyone else.
I love it. Yeah. Well, actually, Kenny's a returning guest, of course.
Yeah, he has been on before.
And we were quite surprised, weren't we? It was 2 years ago
came in. I couldn't believe it.
And Kenny's business has changed a lot. Kenny and I don't talk all the time, but we talk every now and again, and I generally know what's going on. And I just thought it was a great opportunity for Kenny to come back and explain what's changed with Snapwire. So I'll leave him very much to introduce himself and what he's been up to.
Well, Kenny, it's a pleasure to see you again after a couple of years. Yeah, nice to have you back. For those that don't remember 2 years ago, just start off with the listener that our listener's quite new as well. Just start off by telling us what you actually do, what Snapwire Software does.
Yeah, so we are a software company. We develop mainly business-to-business applications. So we can integrate systems, we build websites, we build databases, mobile apps, etc.
Okay.
But our primary purpose is to help businesses streamline their activity, so reducing manual effort, reducing risks, and integrating the system, so you don't have to duplicate data entry, all that sort of stuff.
Absolutely. So basically what we were talking about earlier in terms of digital engagement for productivity.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm definitely interested in the Tech Expo chatting to you about.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of the themes of the Tech Expo as well is the uptake of productivity tools using technology kinds. You know, there's so much about that you can use. Just interestingly, without deflecting too much from you, I saw a good use of it. Well, I'll caveat that because he hasn't finished. He's still working on my washing machine now. So, but the interesting thing is the chap that's doing it is clearly a one-man band. Yeah. And I found him on Checker Trade for a start. Yeah. Which was good news, and he had good results on there. But I rang his number, and normally the problem with tradespeople is, you know, is they're normally standing outside their van at some point going, you what? Whoa, hold on a minute, mate, I'm just doing it. But this was answered by a professional lady who took all the details, took an advance payment from me, made the arrangements, told me what time he was coming and everything else. Clearly, he's using a company to manage his time. Mm-hmm. Now, that will cost him money, obviously, but the reality of that is it will save him. Mm. Tons and tons of money, because one of the worst things about independent tradespeople is they waste lots of time and their own money by turning up at random times when you've gone out having said they would be here at 12. You give them till 3 and then you go, do you know what, I'm going out, and the minute you go out they turn up, that kind of thing. So you're developing products to help businesses with those kind of issues.
Exactly that. And I think this it's a common problem where building the software, it's not always a cheap option to go down.
Yeah.
So trying to identify the return on investment in those products is key to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, within any job that we work on, we always try to say, right, we're going to work with you to get 6 to 12 month ROI.
Yeah.
And that eases the concerns.
Yeah, know, absolutely.
You know, you spend a bit of money, you want to make sure you're going to get that return.
Absolutely. But you're absolutely right. You know, there are huge returns to be made from investing in good quality systems and software. Mm-hmm. It's understanding that and having the courage to go with it. And it's a bit like Burb was saying about divorce lawyers. One of the issues for all of us in the tech business is when we try to sell our services is how people that aren't techie can understand who to put their trust in.
So there is an element of becoming a trusted advisor in that sense. Having that initial conversation, and we generally have a process that we go through to understand a little bit about their business, what systems they use, and how we can work with them to implement the best solution.
Sure.
So that kind of trusted advisor is key to doing business with the clients.
And do you find, Kenny, that once you've worked with a client, it then becomes easier to persuade them to do other things and integrate
the upsell?
But not in just in a selling point of view, but because they become comfortable with what you do and they understand that you're on their side, kind of thing. Yeah, they feel more comfortable.
Definitely. So you build up that relationship, and you have to trust that individual. Same as finding a good plumber. And my brother's got his own plumbing business. You were talking about it earlier. I was going to give you his details, but it's the same. Once you found a good one, you stick with them, and you just keep reusing, and you recommend them to other people as well.
Yeah.
So it's essential. Really.
Trouble with plumbers is they retire in about 3 years. They get to 35 and they go, I don't need to work anymore. So Kenny, when did you launch SnapWire?
It was about 2011.
Right, okay.
So I did it as a consultancy, and I was just a one-man consultancy at that time.
Yeah.
And I was going into different businesses, mainly in insurance and finance, recommending solutions, building software for them.
Yeah.
Over time, took on some clients and took on my first employee probably about 5-6 years ago.
So that, I think that's a traumatic thing, isn't it, when you take your first employee?
Very scary. Yeah, but I think... I'm not sure we were together at that point, but over the last 4 or 5 years, we've grown from when I was last on the station 2 years ago, there was 3 of us. Mm. We've now got 6 of us.
Wow. Okay.
We're steadily growing. We've taken on our first sales guy a few months ago. That's been an interesting learning experience.
I was going to say, maybe we'll discuss that in a moment.
Yeah, especially from a tech background as well. That's a whole different area, but it's been interesting.
But it's interesting that you raise that, though, because it is a difficult thing to do, isn't it? But, you know, I'm assuming that up until now you've kind of been the salesperson. You know, because it's your business, so therefore you've done the sales. Yeah. When you actually have to hand over to a salesman or a business development manager, it's not as easy as it sounds, is it?
Exactly. It's scary. It's scary because you're going into areas that you've never really experienced before. My background's in technology
and
understanding how that works and working with clients to do that.
Yeah.
To actually go out there and try and sell
it. But when you're doing it, it's you're not really selling per se, are you? You're consulting about the tech that you can do, because you're a hybrid, yeah? Because you go into someone's office and they go, oh, I want a Okie Kokie 2000 connected to my Mickey Mouse doobly wallop.
Yeah.
And you go, yeah, well, that's okay, as long as you've got an API for your Pluto.
Pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas... it's technical stuff, but don't worry about it. Whereas a business development manager probably doesn't work in the same way, because they wouldn't have the technical skills that you have to exactly. do something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and I think those initial conversations are key, just to building that confidence that I'm not just talking crap.
Yeah.
I've been there and done it. And got over 20 years experience in doing this. And, and the guys that we've got on the team now, I'm in a position where I feel comfortable that they can do the same job as well.
Okay,
great
cool.
experience, really good skills, and allows me to focus more on the sales aspect of it.
Yeah,
and that's something that I think you've done so right, because so many people employ a salesman and become the admin person.
Yeah,
and that's where the businesses go wrong. It's as simple as that. Go with your skill set, because that's what you can do. Unless you want to do admin, Kenny. Do you feel
really.
The urge?
No, not at the moment.
Obviously, I might have got you completely wrong. Who knew? But that's true, isn't it? We see so much of that.
It is. And you know, coming back to the discussion we were having just now about running small businesses, of course, as a business owner in a small business, you do have to do admin because the government insists.
Of course.
Yeah. And they want to, and then they worry about why we're not productive anymore. And that's because we're doing all your work for you, HMRC or whatever. But I want to talk about Snapwire and the kind of projects that you're working on. Give us a flavour, Kenny, for the kind of things that you've been doing and the kind of projects that you've been putting together.
Sure, yeah. So we work on some interesting projects. We don't specialise in one industry, specialise in building the technology, whatever's needed for the end customer.
Just for the techie in me, what kind of technology are you using to build these applications?
So it's all .NET.
Right, okay.
Yeah, also basically Microsoft Stack that we use. We do have experience with WordPress, PHP, etc., but primarily it's
.NET.
Like
okay.
Just to give you a flavour of some of the applications we've worked on, there's one of our longest clients. So when we work with someone, we always put together a long-term plan.
Mm.
It's not about building you some software, throwing it over to you and leaving you with it.
Mm.
It's like, how can we support that and grow that as well?
You're right.
Putting a roadmap together. So we've been working, our longest client has been about 7-8 years, I think.
Wow, okay.
Continuously working.
You'd think they'd have finished by now, wouldn't you?
You would. That's
no words.
Yeah.
Like that chapel in Spain. What's that one that never finished?
Yeah. I was reading, it's taken longer to build it than it took to build the pyramids so far. It's over 3,000 years or something. Since anyway,
it seems crazy. I think we'll probably get to about 3,000 years. But it's enhancing the product. So we had what's called an MVP, minimum viable product.
Yeah.
And then every time we just increment it with stages.
Mm.
And that project is called T-Cards Online. It's a brilliant project management tool.
Mm.
Kind of, if you're familiar with Trello, it's a better version of Trello.
Okay.
And it's going through constant enhancements. There's a mobile app for it. Where you can manage your tasks, build your own Kanban board, own calendar board, etc. It has an API layer, so you can integrate it with other systems. It's just constantly growing.
Mm.
We've then got another application, two recent ones that we've deployed over the last month, actually. One of them is called My Play Area, and it's around managing and auditing parks for kids. So it's bringing an industry standard to these parks. So if you, it's not about how exciting these kid play areas are for the kids. It's about inclusivity as well. So for disabled children, and bringing them up to a standard. So you can actually effectively mark them out of 5.
Okay.
And start searching. So that's quite an interesting one. There isn't really a standard for that.
Yeah.
And then there's another one, Pixabix, and it's all about sabbaticals. So if you want to take a career break and do that, you can put your job up on...
I know them. It's Dr. George...
Gerald. Yeah, George. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
And Paul Redding was working with
Paul Redding
as well.
Yeah. Do you know both of them?
Yeah.
Really good guys. Really good guys.
That's an interesting project, that.
It is, yeah.
I know them because they came to talk to me when they were thinking about going with the project and highlighting what they were doing. It's a really interesting project that they got there.
It is, definitely. And I know they're looking at schools as well,
As Kenny said, it's a website or a set of applications for booking sabbaticals and volunteer work, but they were also looking at extending that into work experience for young people at school.
Exactly.
Yeah. And one of the things we discussed, because I'd just come back from the House of Commons talking about it, was the new T levels. And the new T levels that are being rolled out next year by the government require 45 days a year minimum work experience.
Okay.
So there's a whole need for schools to generate relationships with businesses to find work experience for pupils that they're offering T-levels to. Interesting project, yeah.
Is that live now?
Yes, it went live last week.
What's the website?
Pixabex.co.uk.
Yeah.
So pick a sabbatical experience.
Nice. So a wide range of different projects.
Yeah, exactly. We've got some in automotive, some in finance. Mm. And we're also, where we're all quite geeky within the team, we always like looking at what's called the emerging technologies.
Mm.
So we mentioned the funding that's out there at the moment. So we're looking at augmented reality projects at the moment, again, around business applications as well.
Mm.
So, yeah, there's some great games out there, like the Pokemon and stuff like that.
Yeah, sure.
Which my kids love. It's the only way I'll get them out of the house. Yeah, using it for real business interaction, real business use case.
Mm.
So it's quite cool. And we recently done a couple of talks on blockchain as well. I was going to mention,
I read your blog on blockchain.
Oh, okay.
Which was interesting. Yeah. Funnily enough, in 2 weeks' time, we've got a whole blockchain special on the Business Bunker Show.
Okay, brilliant.
With Gavin Serkin. Gavin used to work for Bloomberg.
Mm-hmm.
He's a finance journalist, and he wrote a book called Emerging Markets, where he did a world tour of the riskiest places in the world with the biggest returns. He went with a guy called Mark Mobius, who's a South African billionaire, and they looked at places where you could get a massive return on your income as long as you had access to a private army. I added that bit myself. But you know, it was like Kazakhstan and Venezuela and places like that where you could make huge returns, but it was highly, highly volatile. But they're doing a special on blockchain and cryptocurrencies in a couple of weeks' time.
Make sure to check that out.
Yeah, do. But I read your blog on it, and without blowing smoke, one of the things I loved about it is I've read so many blockchain cryptocurrency blogs that just lose the plot after a few seconds by getting overly bogged down in either the blockchaininess, talking about Bitcoin mining or some other nonsense, or you get the other side with people like Bird, who just makes a fortune out of investing in her Bitcoin wallet.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's true. She's going to buy a Chinook. Yeah. Penny, don't laugh. I'm serious.
Yeah, she does.
I really dabble in it. I love it.
Yeah, she sits there and she goes, yes. And you go, what's the matter? Just double my money on my Bitcoin wallet.
It's true. And now you can get a credit card on it, and now you can trade into Link without paying any percentage on it.
Wow.
So they're now increasing the trading of it.
I was having an argument online with some bloke the other day who was trying to convince me about modern monetary theory, which is the theory that all money is owned by the government. Which is, anyway, I said, okay, cryptocurrencies. And he went, cryptocurrencies aren't real until you can pay your taxes with them. And I went, Ohio. In the state of Ohio, they now accept Bitcoin and Ethereum for taxes. So it's wrong.
There's actually a Bitcoin ATM in Maidstone as well. Now.
Is there? Really?
In one of the corner shops.
But without blowing smoke, I loved your blog because it was straightforward. It was a very clear explanation of what blockchain is.
Mm-hmm.
And what made you do that? What made you write that? What made you think about it? I know a lot of people confuse blockchain, or they don't confuse them. They cross-pollinate blockchain and cryptocurrencies, but they're not necessarily the same thing. One's based on the other. But
exactly, and that's where my talks have focused on, trying to separate the commonality between the two. So Bitcoin, I think it has got a future in its own right. But the only reason it has got a future is because of the blockchain technology. Yeah.
But blockchain has a future outside of cryptocurrencies.
Exactly.
Blockchain is a massive piece of technology that has all kinds of potential applications.
Yeah, exactly that. Mm. So, yeah, the potential uses for blockchain are infinite, really. You can use them in any industry. Mm. And I've tried to, you're right, I've tried to explain it in a way that we can all understand, because it is quite a complicated subject.
It is, yeah.
But it's effectively a database. That's if you think of it like that, it kind of, oh, right, we all know what a database is. It stores data. Great. Yeah. The main difference with blockchain is that it stores that history, and that history is what's called is immutable.
Yeah.
So it cannot be changed. There's no way of changing it. And that's where it gets the real value from.
Yeah.
So it is an interesting subject. I mean, it is a buzzword as well. That's the problem.
Yeah.
People do jump on it, and people throw lots of money at it as well. And it's crazy, but there are some very interesting projects out there that are using it.
Yeah. So that's something that you're doing stuff on. You're giving talks on blockchain and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Fantastic. Kenny, thank you so much for that.
Thank you.
Bert.
Kenny, why are you speaking about blockchain at the minute and not in the application side and the software side that you're in? What is it that you're going, do you know what, I really feel that you want to use your voice in that arena?
Yeah, so I feel with traditional software, if you like, or the current software, building web applications and software, that is our bread and butter, if you like. That's what we're good at. We specialise in that. And with technology, it's always moving so quickly. And you have to keep an eye on what's coming up. And for me, there's the two, out of all the emerging technologies, such as augmented reality, virtual reality, etc., it is blockchain and augmented reality that will have real business use cases in the very near future. The additional ones like virtual reality and even artificial intelligence, I think, will get the real benefits longer term.
Yeah, it's so far away from us, isn't it? But it's there. It's in conversation, but it's not available to us.
Exactly. Well, what we class as artificial intelligence at the moment is incredible amount of data. With some really clever programming and starting to detect patterns within that data, in that logic. That's great. I think there will be a step up in that, what we call artificial intelligence, soon, but it won't be for a few years.
Mm.
But yeah, it's all subjects I love.
I find it fascinating how you're starting to talk about these subjects. And I see books being written, and actually we still don't know very much about it all, do we?
We don't.
So again, it's do we trust you with the words that you're saying, that is what it is?
Yeah.
It's really interesting to me.
Yeah, that's it. And there are a lot of people out there who know a lot about stuff and are actively working on projects. We've got one, we're in very early stages, but we are working on a project, and it's about getting that case study in. And that's probably a way of building trust, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being able to say, well, we've done this, look at what we've done, and this is the reason we've done it. And that builds that confidence.
How do we, as the normal human being who really hear these words, but we've got no, he does it every time. See what I mean? I'm trying to be really great and professional, and this is
what I've just got a frog in my throat.
So anyway, how do we as us, being normal, being... this isn't something that's tangible to us, but we hear about it. What's the next step we take to move forward into that future?
That's a really good question. There's some quite a lot of material out there that you can read. There's some great people on LinkedIn or Twitter that you can follow as well that explain a lot about this technology.
Can we not play with it, though? Yeah. Can we not? Like, I've got a Hoover that's an AI Hoover, called of Ernest. Don't laugh at me, Kenny. He's Ernest. He's one of my favourite things that I've got in my house.
He's the fastest movement in the world.
And I tell you, I've called him Ernest because he works in Ernest, bless him, and he's an AI Hoover. He's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that what we start to do? Do we start to bring it into our home? Do we not? What do we do?
Yeah, it will be. The artificial intelligence element of that is probably the Hoover, understanding what your room layout is, learning that, and then working around that.
Yeah, so exactly.
But it won't be able to learn to make you do that.
Kenny, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're kind of running out at the end of the show. If people want to find out more about Snapwire, what you're doing, your software, and also your speaking and blogging on things like blockchain and the other things you do, how can they do that?
Okay, so if you go to snapwire.co.uk, it's a website, so you can see all our services that we offer there.
Okay.
We do offer a 15-minute free consultation, so we'll chat through any ideas, see if there's a way to move that forward. And you can book that through the website as well.
Okay.
Or can email me, kenneth.cox@snapwire.co.uk. The main ways to keep in touch, look out for me on LinkedIn. Put all the information on there about any upcoming talks, etc. And hopefully have some good conversation.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.